Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com.
Ryan Silverfield is the University of Memphis football coach. Let's make him a giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Coach Silverfield, how you doing, man?
Good, guys. How are y'all doing?
Everything is going fine here on our end here. Look, we have a lot to get to with you today. Appreciate you joining us in advance of, obviously, your busy schedule coming up. I guess first things first, this is probably, I don't think you would try to say that it was a season that you necessarily expected to go the way it did, but now that the regular season is in the books, what's just your assessment now that you've had a couple of weeks to, you know, think about it and decompress?
Yeah, look, obviously nobody's happy about the record we currently sit at, and it starts with me, and I'm disappointed. I've got to be better as the head coach, and there's a lot of areas to improve. You know, we started off 3-0, and we always have high expectations. Obviously, the season didn't go as planned, right? We had I'm not going to sit here and make any excuses. We played 28 freshmen and redshirt freshmen. We had 47 players miss one game at least with an injury, but we've got to be better. And that's my job, is to continue to develop our guys, put us in the best situation to win games. But the good news is I think we got a very bright future. I think we're doing things the right way. Our guys continue to believe. You know, I think anybody that watched our games would say, well, at least those kids, they kept fighting and believing and working together. And, you know, every single one of our games, with the exception of one, you know, where you got to be able to watch our guys battle for all four quarters. And that's the exciting part. We got the right type of young men. We're going to continue. I'm on the road recruiting as we speak and trying to continue to find Tigers that are going to do it the right way to put us all continue on the map and have success.
Yeah, what was the key to that part of it, Coach? Because there was an opportunity, I guess, for guys to sort of say, you know what, I'm going to let go of the rope, or maybe I'm going to get out here. We had Calvin Austin in here last week, and they talked, you know, he talked about it, talked about for those players, that bowl streak, keeping that thing alive. Did you sense at any point, was it a speech? Was it constantly talking to them in terms of keeping them together for that and for accomplishing that goal? Okay, at this point, let's make it to a bowl. What was the key to that, to them not letting go?
Yeah, Jason, look, credit to the guys. I mean, they should get all the credit. But I do believe, you know, it wasn't a magical speech. It wasn't a rah-rah deal. It was just we've kept a constant message of it's always got to be about the team. It's got to be about, you know, continue to work and continue to fight and believe. And that's the one thing I can tell you. You know, it didn't matter if it was after the Mississippi State win or after the UTSA loss. Our guys have continued to work and believe and care about each other and love each other and put the team over me aspect. And has it always been pretty in the final result of the score? No, but right, you guys had Calvin in, and you know, without a doubt, these guys believe and they love this program, and we're so fortunate. You know, did we execute at the level we need to? Heck no. But that's what's been fun, is I didn't sit there every once and say, oh gosh, we lost the locker room, or they're blaming each other. There's no finger point. It was okay, let's continue to work. And that was awesome. You know, you stand in front of the team in a team meeting or after a win or after a loss and look at their eyes. And they care so much. And that's what's been such a pleasure.
I don't think you guys went into, this off season expecting Seth Hennigan to be the starting quarterback. Obviously, you guys brought Grant Gunnell in here for a reason. But, you know, circumstances forced that issue. And after getting the job, I think he everybody would agree, you really made the most of it. How do you just, you know, assess the job that he did as a true freshman, you know, 6 300-yard games, as composed and as poised as he was several times throughout the year? How do you just reflect on the job that Seth did in a tough situation as a true freshman?
Yeah, John, I think, you know, anytime an 18-year-old is called upon to be a starter, it's a very, very difficult task. And starting quarterback at the University of Memphis has to be as well-rounded as any individual in this country. And you say, what the heck do you mean? Well, they've got to be able to understand. They've got to be a leader. They've got to work harder. They have to understand this complex offense. They've got to be tough. They got to be liked by their teammates, all those things. And for a true freshman to come in, grab the bull by the horns and say, okay, I got this, with great confidence, you know, never too high, never too low. Has he been perfect? Heck no, right? I mean, he'll be the first to tell you he needs to, you know, help out on those interceptions and do a better job of locating the football. But he's been banged up. He's tough. He cares. He's smart. You know, for a kid to understand that and then come in and guess what? It's not like we're sitting there holding him back with what we do offensively. He gets it. And so, quite pleased. You know, I don't think anybody can come in and say, wow, well, they, you know, he's not going to be very good or he doesn't have a bright future. I think it's the exact opposite. And people are saying, wow, well, that's good. And that's a wonderful thing. You look at our quarterback room, people are going to say, okay, there's some options now, and we're going to continue to build that room because we know how important that position is.
You know, and that's what it leads me right to my next question. Your job, you know, and the job of the head college football coach has changed a little bit in the last 12, 24 months, because now it's not just about recruiting a kid out of high school and developing him once he gets here. It's also basically about re-recruiting him again, because there is such thing as a transfer portal, and now there is no penalty upon that first transfer. So, you know, when you do look at that quarterback room, Seth Hennigan, the year that he had, Grant Gunnell, obviously talented quarterback, you've got incoming guys like Tevin Carter here from Memphis. How are you navigating Seth and Grant, and just sort of take us through the process of how you expect this to go for your quarterback situation at Memphis?
Well, look, you know, I think we all realize that college athletics, especially college football, is a completely different animal than it was two years ago, right? I'll be the first to say, and I've talked, you know, whether it's, you know, Coach Norvell and I ran into each other out of town a couple days ago. Are the jobs of a college football head coach have changed dramatically, you know, over the last 2 years, and even more so this past year in this offseason, right, with this transfer portal. You know, I mean, it's unique. You hear about coaches walking across college campuses of a team that they may play to go talk to a student-athlete that's in the portal that they may have coached against 2 months prior. It's just a very different deal. But I always feel like this. It's not necessarily re-recruiting our current players. It's about building relationships, and that's not coach speak. That's the reality of this, right? We have a certain niche we have at Memphis, a culture that we've been able to create, and we're going to work hard. We're going to do it the right way. We care about academics. We care about the way we treat other people. We're going to live right socially. And guess what? Maybe that's not for everybody. But as long as I'm the head football coach here, there's going to be certain standards that we're going to uphold. And a lot of guys like it. Obviously, some guys will leave because they don't want the competition. But that's the nature of where we're at. So it's not necessarily about re-recruiting. It's about holding our players accountable, loving them, caring about them, making sure that they are having success on and off the field, and giving them everything we could possibly offer them here at the university. And guess what? Most of our guys understand that and appreciate it and have found a great home at Memphis. So, again, for me, it's about just continue to build those relationships. And that's part of my job. You know, I can't sit behind my desk and just watch film all day. It's about continue to be around our guys as much as I possibly can.
Those guys that can get taken away from you in a transfer portal, I'm just asking you, Coach, is that something where you trust? You just talked about that relationship with them, that those guys are going to come in and tell you, and hey, maybe even give you a chance. Look, hey, well, yeah, don't be thinking about that, because here's what we've got here. Don't forget about this. Or, you know, or is it something that you don't even give them that chance? I'm checking in with you every day on some of those guys that you know you want back. Is that a daily process?
Yeah, I do think it is. I mean, there are quite a few of my guys. I'm on the road recruiting, so I can't be there. And, you know, the 117 guys, I can't go tuck each one of them in bed at night, even though that may be the direction we're one day heading. I do think that's part of it, just checking in, make sure we're touching base. But the reality of it is we want guys that want to be here, and it's near impossible, right? We've seen it at every school. There's guys that have absolutely tremendous relationships with their position coach, their head coach, and they just want a different opportunity, whether it's closer to home or somebody offers them in an IL, which technically you're not supposed to in the recruiting process, mm-hmm. right? Maybe they want to try a different conference. Maybe they care about playing time. There's a variety of reasons. I have always asked our guys to come and have the opportunity to speak to me. I've been pretty blunt about this whole deal. You know, I've never publicly come out and thrown a player off the team and told the media, hey, I got rid of this guy. I just tell them, hey, the nice thing is you can just go click a button, and then the media will come out and say, well, Ryan Sorfa lost another player, and I just take it and I won't say anything unless a player obviously publicly embarrasses the university. So I always think that's pretty interesting to fathom. No one ever says, well, you haven't thrown a kid off the team in 2 years. Yeah, that's fine. So that's where we're at. But look, it's a different, unique deal. It's no different, right? I've got to go and look and see, okay, where are there some holes in our roster? It's roster management. I used that word 2 years ago, just mm-hmm. over 2 years ago, and everyone looked at me sideways. And it was part of my introductory press conference that we're just going to turn into roster management. You know, I may have a super senior that says, Coach, I'm going to come back for an extra year. Well, if I wasn't accounting for him, well, then I got to find a way. And the NCAA is now allotted where if you lose up to 7 transfers, you have the ability to replace 7 of those in your initial. So now, instead of signing 25 initial scholarships, now you sign 32. And what does that look like? You know, and it's a unique thing for sure.
You know, we're in that time of year now, right? Like the coaching carousel is going on and guys are entering, you know, the transfer portal. And look, I think net, it is the right thing. You know, these are college athletes. They should be allowed the opportunity to make decisions without being penalized. But I also get that there is another side of that coin. So how frustrating is it, right, for you? Because you're a coach, and ultimately you're going to recruit some of these players too. You have to be an advocate for them having freedom of choice. But also, like, damn, you know, I find you, I identify you, I develop you, and I might lose you through no fault of my own, but because, you know, a bigger conference, a Power Five, a situation opens up, and there's really nothing I can. So, just how frustrating is that balance for you to find as a head coach at a place like Memphis?
Yeah, look, I think every place is dealing with it. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're at a school that won the national championship last year, and it's a starter that, you know, his position coach left for a job in another place, and he's no longer happy, or he doesn't like his new coach. It's occurring all throughout college football. So for me to sit here and get frustrated and angry and say, oh, this isn't fair. Look, you talk to any college head football coach, and it's we're battling different things than we battled a year ago because you can wake up in the morning and your roster can look differently, and now all of a sudden you've got different holes to fill at different positions. So that it's a reality of what it is. And whether it's at Memphis, Notre Dame, LSU, Hawaii, it doesn't matter. You're still dealing with 18 to 23-year-olds that have the ability to make decisions that feel like it's going to fit them. And, yes, the freedom to do what they want is great. I also think we're in an interesting spiral for college football because this is not sustainable, right? If Team X loses 30 kids to the transfer portal but can only replace a certain number, well, they'll never be able to make that up, you know, or a school loses a coach that decides to take a different job and he decides to take 20 of those guys with him. Well, then the next guy that gets that job, it's going to take 3 years just to rebuild. And then the only way you can simply rebuild is by providing transfers and then high school recruiting. Now I'm on the road and I'm in these high schools and these coaches are saying, nobody's recruiting our kids. They're just waiting to find the quick fix in the portal because very few colleges are going to have the opportunity to say, okay, you have time to develop your players. You got time to do it. I mean, look, we played 28 freshmen this year, and I'm sure the media was all over my butt, rightfully so. Well, you need to win right now. I get it, sure. And nobody wants to win as much as I do. But we're also trying to build something here and continue to sustain the right way with the right type of young men.
What's key to getting that run game, Coach, where you expect it to be? I know you'd look at last season and say, not where I expected. What's key to that? The backs, the offensive line itself, you experienced some injuries up front there, but I know it's not been at a level you expect to be, and you're an old run coach guy. What's got to change there?
Yeah, Jason, look, I banged my head through cement walls trying to figure out this run game deal. I don't think I've changed dramatically as a being able to scheme up run game. You know, I've been very fortunate to be a part of some of the best at both levels in college and in the NFL. And it hadn't been going the way we want. And, you know, that's my job is to make sure we get it. But without getting into too much coach speak, look, we had 5 NFL running backs in 4 years. We've got great running backs, but, you know, those guys that are in the NFL are absolutely dynamic. And that's not saying that we don't have those guys on our roster. we got to continue to do a better job blocking up front, you know, scheming. And it comes to it, right, the point of attack with wide receivers. You know, Anthony Miller, you go back and watch his film, Anthony Miller is one of the best run-blocking wide receivers I've been associated with in a long time. And, you know, you look at, you know, Sean Dykes, fantastic tight end, love him to death. But he's also, you know, 6'1", 217 pounds. And so maybe at the point of attack at tight end, now he does a great job, will fight tooth and nail. So a combination of so many things that led us down there. Now, teams are also playing one high safety. So sometimes you'll say, well, why are we throwing the ball more? Well, this RPO world, you know, if the quarterback's making the right read and they load the box, well, then it's got to be a quick throw or whatever it may be, or the safety's down the box. And so, you know, we either got to throw a different route combination off that safety or hand the ball off and know that we got to make that safety miss. And if we don't do it, well, therefore you're getting a two-yard gain instead of a 20-yard gain.
We are, of course, talking to University of Memphis football coach Ryan Silverfield here on the show. He's out recruiting now, on the road now, and then he's off to the Hawaii Bowl later this month. I got to tell you, I've never seen somebody sound so sad to be going to Hawaii. It's ridiculous. What's up with you, man? I mean, it's fun for everybody except the head coach. You're going to friggin' Hawaii. You're not going to Birmingham, dude.
Well, I did get your text and asked if you could join us on the plane for media obligations. Mm-hmm.
I'll be on the wing, brother. All right, I will come on the wing if I have to.
Yeah, it's amazing the number of people that come out of the woodwork and say, "Yeah, I'd love to be there to support your team." I said, "Where were you at the Tulane game?" You know,
that's right.
That was down the street.
I like it. Hold people accountable. You know, you want to go to Hawaii, you got to sit through Tulane. That's right.
Right. It's look, I'm really excited for our program. Let's call it what it is. It's not your usual bowl, right? It's yep. It's a wonderful opportunity for our players to be able to go do something, experience something that most of them have never been able to do, including myself. I'm excited. It's obviously a fantastic bowl game and atmosphere, and it's going to be a lot of fun and enjoyable. You know, look, it's my job is to make sure that I prepare the team to go out there and get the win. But I also understand, look, they deserve this. It has been a trying season. Mm-hmm. You guys, it's well-documented adversity, and that's – but I've been pleased with their effort. We got to go out there and work and find a way. But no, it's look. I'm very happy for the players and the coaches' families, and we'll find a way to enjoy it at some point. Yeah, I don't get in the water.
Yeah, just try, man. Just try. And then last thing, we had Calvin Austin III in studio last week, and you know he mentioned that he's been hobbled, and I know you know that, and he's sort of deciding still whether or not he's going to participate in the bowl game, and that remains to be seen. But just being around him for as long as you have and just seeing sort of his rise as a player, you know, how much of an ambassador has he been for your program and just what has he meant in his time there at Memphis?
100% everything to this program. I mean, you know, the young man, you think about his story, comes in as a 144-pound walk-on wide receiver, and to be able to develop himself, to get better, to be able to be one of the top wide receivers, top playmakers in all of college football, to get the Senior Bowl invite, to be a first-team all-conference unanimous, to end up being an NFL draft pick, who got an academic, you know, recognition last year, just absolutely everything you could ever ask for in a young man, tremendous ambassador, not only to the football program, the university, but also our great city.
Coach, we always appreciate the time. It's good. You got one more day?
Coach, real quick, how's Cincinnati? First
group
of five.
Well, yeah, I figured we were going to talk Raiders and Bears for about the next hour.
No need for that.
You don't need to talk Bears. That thing's a hot mess.
You don't need to talk about the Raiders either.
But Cincinnati versus Alabama, you're the perfect person to ask. Like, how do you think that's going to go, first group of five at that point? And is it a deal where it's like, congratulations, Cincinnati, now, you know, screw you, because there is a little bit of a rivalry there, and they're moving on. Are you pulling for Cincy, and what do you think that game will be like?
Yeah, look, first off, I got friends at, you know, both staffs, and credit to Cincinnati. They've done it the right way. Mm-hmm. They deserve to be where they're at, and they deserve all the credit. In reality, you know, it's hard not to pull for them. They're in our conference. I want to see them do good things. They've got a ton of talent. Thank goodness that talent is all. Now, they've got a talented, deep roster that will continue to develop, but I'm glad a lot of that those guys are going to the NFL after that those games. But, no, Coach Figgle and his staff have done a great job. Look, I don't think anybody's going to sit there and doubt Cincinnati. I can promise you that. I don't think you watch their game versus Georgia, you watch what they've been able to do versus Notre Dame, and I think everybody realizes, holy cow, this is some legitimate talent, and done the right way, they can compete with anybody. So I expect a dogfight. You know, I mean, you look at what they've been able to do throughout the last few years, and and the players they've been able to acquire, it's going to be a heck of a game.
Have you already spent that money that you're getting as a result of the payout? Have you already said, okay, this is where this money needs to go? You know, could you? I think the conference gets $6 million. You know, for Cincinnati being, have you already spent that money in your head?
Yeah. I'm sure the president and the athletic director are going to put it actually directly, probably in my pocket.
Absolutely, that's where it needs to go.
Yeah.
That's exactly where it needs to go.
I appreciate you. Thank you. And speaking of ambassadors, you two have always been my favorite. So
yeah,
I appreciate you all. But no, it's great for the conference, and it'd be great for the university. And so I just think it's just what it does is also, you know, I can go into a home tonight and say, you know, and some will say, well, you know, we're a Power Five. You don't need to go there. And I can say, well, that's good. But I'm glad that we get to, you know, our conference can be represented and play in Alabama in the playoffs. So it makes it a lot easier.
Well, Coach, we always do appreciate the visits. We appreciate the time. And hold on to Seth for us. We look forward to a sophomore season from Seth at Memphis. And appreciate the time,
thanks
as always.
Time,
thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys. You are the best. And go Tigers.
Yes, sir. He is Ryan Silverfield, University of Memphis football coach. Good stuff from him. You know, I think that, you know, it's some honest talk, some real talk from him. Obviously, some frustrations from this season. I don't think he ran from those, and he knows like there are certain things that have to be addressed and held on to. And most importantly, it starts with quarterback. So it sounds like he knows the situation there.
He got
so
plenty on his play. Run game, defense got to be better.
Yep.
But none of that will matter if you don't have the right guy under
exactly
center,
right,
and if everybody's after Seth Hennigan.
Yep.
So
yep,
you heard him. That's like a daily thing.
Oh, yeah.
Check on him.
Oh, no doubt.
That's exciting, though, right? I mean, that getting the quarterback right is
look,
what,
you bring
50%
Seth Hennigan,
of it?
If you bring Seth Hennigan
the
back,
things,
then,
yeah.
I mean, there's honestly, they could compete, like in the AAC.
They could compete last year, having the second worst run game in the AAC.
Yeah,
so
that's
they
it
competed.
You just got, you,
but Seth, they need to compete at a higher level than what they've been.
That's right.
And I think Ryan Silverfield understands that for sure. 6-6 is not the standard at the University of Memphis anymore. It's just not. So anyway, thanks to Ryan Silverfield for joining us on the show today. We'll come back. Myron Metcalf going to join us. Turn to college basketball. Get his thoughts on Memphis and Penny.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hard away.
Too sexy for your girl. Too sexy for this world. Too sexy for this ice. Too sexy for that jack.
Myron Metcalf covers college basketball for ESPN. Catch him on ESPN Radio. He's all over. He's on Twitter at Metcalf by ESPN. He joins us now. Myron, what's good, man?
How you guys doing, man?
I don't know. Not so good. I'll tell you the truth. I mean, it wasn't supposed to start like this.
You're going to have to help us.
Yeah. Been rocky, man. Been a little rocky.
I mean, when you evaluate this Memphis basketball season and you see some of the things that have been said and you see the play on the court, like, could it have gone worse, honestly?
Yeah, it's been surprising, you know. I mean, you know, I think what happens to a team like that, too, is, like, you're kind of dealing with kind of basic and reasonable expectations, and then just before the season – you add an Imani Bates and a Jalen Duren, and everything kind of skyrockets. And I think you forget sometimes how difficult it is to just add pieces at that point in the season. Just still so many things that you have to figure out. The whole Imani Bates at PG and trying to figure that out situation. And, you know, now that I think they're having one of the highest turnover rates in the country. So I just think there's a lot of moving parts, and Penny just hasn't figured out the formula yet. And then when you hear the post-game comments about jealousy on the team and challenges they have on the team, it just feels like one of those things where they got to fix it now or there's just going to be no way to fix it down the line.
Does it – how much optimism you got? I mean, Myron, you cover college basketball a long time, and you've seen many a great coach. And I suppose there are some situations where maybe you've called out those veteran players and it's worked for you. Seemed like those would be the more veteran coaches. Just your optimism level that last two games Penny's called out, you know – Here's the issue, Myron. He's done it while essentially saying, hey, and you guys got to expect Imani Bates to be bad. Like, we're doing all we can with Imani, and so far, you know, he hadn't done anything wrong. It's you vets. When has calling out publicly worked is my question to you, Myron. I know for some vets maybe, but in this day and age, brother, where that transfer portal is looking good, and it just seems – I don't know that that's a good strategy. What say you?
Yeah, I think it depends on the team and the players mm-hmm. and the relationship the coach has with the players, right? I think you can do that to a team you're tight with. I think you can do that to a team where you have some established veterans who can kind of, you know, take that message and send it throughout the locker room and back you. We'll find out if Penny has that. But, yeah, I think it's always going to be shocking when you hear those comments at this point in the season and you see Imani – and the challenges he's having to try to figure out what even position he plays.
Right.
You know, where can he be effective? And you come to a team that, you know, was really good defensively, still a good defensive team, but still some question marks on offense. It comes down to the turnovers, right? Like, at the end of the day, this is a team that's just committing way too many turnovers at this point, one of the worst marks in America. But you still see a team where it's like, okay, if they can correct that, on some level, they've been one of the top offensive rebounding teams in the country. You know what the talent is. And I guess when you ask about, okay, what's ahead, I've covered this sport for a long time. And I've watched a lot of teams die in December only to live again in March.
Very true.
Right? Yes. And what happens with those teams is the whole attention goes away. People stop caring.
Right.
And all of a sudden they realize that all the hype wasn't real. And now they're doubted. And there are some teams that feed off of that and almost like need that, that you didn't believe in me in order for them to really grow. I think about that 2014 Kentucky team that made a run to the Final Four mm-hmm. when nobody had them going at this point in the season. And then they kind of just came together. Can Memphis do that? Maybe. But I think they got to come together in that locker room before any of that can be a possibility.
Yeah, we're talking to Myron Metcalf,
Absolutely.
Covers college basketball for ESPN. And I guess, you know, That is the hope, right? That is certainly the hope for Memphis right now, the coming together in the locker room. And Penny did dial it back a little bit on his radio show yesterday. Sort of, he had thrown the team under the bus, you know, for the last two games. And on the radio show, he said, it's all on me. I guess just on the court, right, in terms of the play on the court, you mentioned the turnovers. How much of it boils down to Penny deciding on one lineup, one starting lineup, and being willing to live with its mistakes, because there's been a lot of jerking around with certain guys for this season. How much of it boils down to just that and letting a lineup breathe, make mistakes, and come back from it?
That's part of it. I remember talking to Bill Self after Udoka Azubuike was playing against Oklahoma, that Trae Young team, and they basically did a hack-a-shack on Udoka, right? And Kansas lost the game. And we asked Bill Self, like, why'd you keep him in the game? Guy's a terrible free throw shooter. Like, why would you put him in that position? He said, I couldn't yank him because of what it would have done to his confidence. He said, I could do that to other players, but I couldn't do that to him. And I think there is maybe a specific element in that when it comes to these lineups that Penny is using. You know, he knows how these guys are wired on some level. And there's some guys you can move around in the lineup and they'll be okay. Mm-hmm. There are other guys who might shut down. And I do think that's part of what Penny is trying to figure out with this team. But I think the number one thing coming into this season when you look at it is one of the greatest point guards to ever play the game didn't really know what he was going to do at point guard. Didn't necessarily have a ton of confidence about what he was going to do at the most important position on the floor. I think that's where it starts. Was Imani Bates a running point guard an experiment? You know, what does that mean for him going forward? Now maybe the experiment's over. Do you believe in Lomax? Do you believe in your ball handler? Because I think everything else goes from there. I just think they have more questions than answers right now at this point in the season. The turnovers are a huge thing. You can't win at a high level if you continue to do that. But I just think Penny's still trying to figure out the right formula for this team.
How about this Alabama team that Memphis is going to see in a couple of games? They got Alabama, Myron, and then they got Tennessee after that one. And you know, you already lost to Georgia and to Ole Miss, and this feels like now we're talking top of the SEC. How good can those two teams be? Just watched Alabama take apart Gonzaga for the most part. Felt like a double digit game most of the way through, and they've got Houston coming up. They will not be in any way intimidated by Memphis with what they've already seen.
Yeah, let's see who you are. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, let's see what you're about. And I think this is sort of that that moment. I mean, I think they kick off conference play. Don't they go to Wichita State, you know, I believe? Like, there's not going to be any easy games, but this is what you ask for. When you get into Monty Bates and the Jalen Duren, this is what you want, you know? So I think we are going to find out a lot about this team in the next couple of weeks. Because Alabama and Tennessee, it'd be one thing to lose those games. It'd be another thing to get punched in the face, right? Mm-hmm. And trust me, those two teams are coming to punch these dudes in the face. Ain't nobody giving Memphis any sympathy. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody worried about Imani Bates and Jalen Duren being young and Penny not figuring out. No, these teams are coming for blood. And at some point, Memphis, its history has been defined as the program that's the one coming for blood, right? Memphis is a team coming into the gym to hunt you down. And now it's the other way around. So there has to be some of that Memphis spirit, man, in this team in these next couple of games. Because if you go from losing three in a row to now losing five out of six,
right. Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different conversation, especially with a team that's counting on a bunch of young guys, especially if it's the turnovers again, mm-hmm. especially if the lineup changes are still happening. So I think they got to show something in one of those games to really prove something to themselves. I think Alabama, you could say, is one of the most important games that Penny Hardaway has coached in his entire career.
Yeah, I like the way you put it earlier, Myron, just about teams that die in December, they come back to life in February and March, and certainly like the most prominent example of that last year was UCLA. I mean, nobody was talking about UCLA in December, and then they come and they go to the Final Four and look where they are now with Juzang and those guys. So certainly you see the talent in Memphis and the ability to do that, but The only difference would be, you know, you don't have those golden opportunities in conference. You got Houston twice, and those are really the only games that would matter at all to the committee. So in terms of the path to the NCAA tournament right now for Memphis, like, do they have to get one of these games against Alabama and Tennessee, like, in terms of building a resume and getting there? Like, what's the path?
No, it feels like it. I mean, it feels like if you lose those two games, you're in a really, really tough situation in league play. I mean, Houston is a really good win. You know, Cincy, Wichita State might be solid wins, but nothing that puts you over the top. So then you end up in a situation where maybe you go into the postseason and you got to win the tournament, and you don't want that. So, yeah, I think you got to get one of those wins to even feel like you could have that conversation going into league play without some sort of miraculous finish, which is why I said I think, you know, that stretch might be the most important stretch that Penny has had as a coach at Memphis. But I also don't know, like, there's a part of it that's like, it is coaching, right? Like, it is coaching in this. It is coaching in X's and O's. It is coaching in, you know, how you're guiding these guys, the level of discipline they have or they don't have. But, man, some of this is on this team. Like, you got to want it, man. Like, you either show up or you don't. And to me, what happened against Iowa State was Memphis decided that it wasn't going to fight back. And that's scary, right, for any team. Like, you're getting punched in the face, you just go sit there and take it. Okay, that doesn't speak to the history of that program.
Right.
And then you go to Georgia, and you don't show the fight that you should have shown. And then you go play Ole Miss, and you're sort of like, all right, well, here we go again. At some point, somebody in that locker room, it ain't got nothing to do with Penny, has to decide that they're done with losing like this. I don't know who that is, but that's what changes these teams. Like, that's when teams kind of have a moment. It's not with coach saying the same thing over and over again. It's those guys deciding that they don't want to be this and that this doesn't represent who they are.
Yep. We're talking to Myron Metcalf, covers college basketball for ESPN. It's interesting, like Gonzaga, the first, you know, two, three games of the season, we were talking about, oh, here we go again. Like, they're going to go undefeated, you know, until we get to the NCAA tournament. And then they, you know, Billy Clyde gives them a game there at Tarleton State. They lose to Duke. And then Alabama, I mean, it was a nine-point game, but it really wasn't as close as the score indicated. What do you make of the situation at Gonzaga and just sort of how quickly the narrative kind of flipped on them?
Well, I was with them all week in Vegas, man. I did this profile, so I hung out with the team. You know, I saw how good they can be. I think Chet Holmgren's a really, really good player. Obviously, you got Drew Timmy, National Player of the Year. You know, they just made some mistakes, but they also played a stretch that no one else played. Like, you played Texas, UCLA, Duke, and Alabama.
Yeah.
I'd say most teams in America are probably losing at least two of those games.
Right.
Like, how many teams in America are going 3-1 in that stretch, right? And Gonzaga lost two. So I just think that says more about who they played. Duke, they were right there. You know, Chet Holmgren gets in foul trouble early in the game. And then Paul had his cramps in the second half, but Duke kept the pressure on. So I think it's still a really good team. They're trying to figure out Chet Holmgren and Drew Timmy a lot defensively, because teams are kind of exploiting that, the two big lineup. But I still think that's a really talented team that might benefit from losing some of the hype, right? Oh, you doubt us now? That actually might help that team long term.
Myron, in terms of biggest disappointments in the NFL this season, turning you to something else, how high are the Minnesota Vikings on the list?
They are the list, I think, you know? I mean,
Cleveland and Minnesota, to me.
Yeah, I mean, they are the list just in that they've had so many opportunities for things to be a completely different thing for them, right? There's so many opportunities. And, like, what I hate about teams is, like, when people say, oh, man, they almost beat Arizona, man. They were right there with Cincinnati. Yeah, but they didn't.
Right.
You know, like, winning is a habit, but losing is too. And that's what they've learned to do. I don't care how close they were. They didn't get the job done. And you're watching that. I mean, you beat the Packers, and then you can't beat Detroit. You know, you lose to San Francisco. Like, I just think they're a fraud, and they always have been, you know, a team that will get your hopes up and then disappoint you, just not good enough to be consistent and compete. So I think they'll fire everybody probably and make a lot of changes. But it ain't on Kirk Cousins. I mean, for once, it's not him. It's everybody else.
That's true.
Yeah, but don't you totally expect them to beat Pittsburgh on Thursday? Like I do. Like, that's what they do. That's what they do. That's what the Vikings do, though.
They might have let go.
I don't know. I don't know if they might win one more game the rest of the season. And I'm not saying that just to exaggerate.
Pittsburgh ain't that team, though, like that, Myron. I mean, you know, like, Big Ben's barely out. He's barely hanging on.
Barely hanging on, but beat Baltimore, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, at the end of the day, I trust nothing when it comes to the Minnesota. They lost to Detroit, okay? They lost to winless Detroit. Anything to me is possible with this team when it comes to how much they could lose the rest of the way. They're just not a good team, man.
Yeah. What did you make? You know, you used to, when Versus, you know, first started, like, you would be able to, like, go to this website and you could, like, see how people would score, you know, the Versus. And I couldn't find a score. I couldn't find one for 3-6 and Bone Thugs. How would you score it?
I think 360 took that. 3-6 took that. I mean, 3-6.
Yes.
I mean, when I saw 8-Ball MJG come out, that was like, that was it. Gangsta Boo was with him. I mean, that was everything to me. And then to me, the Busy Bone thing, like, it got all the hype, but to me, it threw off Bone's entire momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just messed up the whole vibe. And then they had to kind of come back.
Yep.
without him and just kind of figure it out. I don't know who picked their song choices either.
Yeah, that was
and
rough.
Like, what they did. But I thought 3-6 was in his element, man. And like, you're not going to beat 3-6 in a competition like that with all the people they could bring out.
Mm-hmm.
They put on a show, man. You can tell those dudes still perform at a high level.
They do. There's no doubt. Hey, Myron, man, appreciate the time as always,
man.
Y'all,
thank you.
Thank you.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, he is Myron Metcalf, covers college basketball for ESPN. Yeah, I mean, that's the setting for 3-6, bro. Versus, you know what I mean? Like, that is their element completely. They're going to get the crowd. Now, that crowd kind of sucked.
Some old dudes trying to sing. Against them, you're going to shine.
Yeah.
And Bone, again, they're trying to sing still.
Yeah, now I'll be.
It didn't match up.
I'm being told, I do have some information on this, that you have successfully slid in the DMs of Gangsta Vu.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to get her on the show.
Yeah.
So about how she repped Memphis and that thing and was all up in under busy skin.
Does she follow you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay.
So not because of Jason Smith or anything. Not because.
Okay.
It's because I think she follows all former and current Tiger basketball beat writers. Boo, a big Tiger basketball fan.
Is that true?
Yes.
She had no clue.
Followed me a long time ago when I was Tiger basketball beat writer. And I've long followed her work and been a fan of hers.
Yeah.
But it was at some point during my time as beat writer with the CA that she followed. We're going to try to get Boo on this week, hopefully. No, she's still busy, still performing. Probably a little bit more than our man White. You know, she's very busy. Gets a lot of performances. Don't bite your lip.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to get her on the show this week, hopefully.
Yeah.
Don't jinx it for me, though.
No.
You putting it all out there before the job's even done. You're not supposed to do that, John.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I think it'll work out. I truly do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.